Well, here we are again. Welcome to the Ignition podcast, you might call it, without all the snazzy music and the big Shure SM7B microphones that always sit in people's faces. I want to welcome you to Ignition this week. And as I say every time, if you want to listen to this while doing other things, feel free. Whatever works best for you is what works best for me. I just hope you get something out of this, and I'm going to pray over you this morning, and we're going to get into it, because we will still do our online service and small group time on Tuesday night. God, I pray over these students that are listening right now. I ask, God, that you would have your way in their life. Holy Spirit, be their relief from stress and anxiety and depression. And Jesus, I pray that you would walk with them through this struggle. Whether you heal them miraculously in the blink of an eye, or God, whether you walk with them through healing over the course of time, I pray that you would do just that. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have to excuse me today, as it's allergy season and I'm just a little raspy, so it might be a little different than usual. But today, we talk Oh My Soul, Part 2. And I want to kick off with this. Nobody likes to wait for anything. We sort of condition ourselves to not have to wait for anything. And I am in the same boat. This is not old man Alan saying how you don't like to wait, but I like to wait. No, I hate waiting for things. Here's three quick things I hate waiting for. First of all, is slow internet. When I look at my phone or something else and I watch the spinning circle trying to load up a fresh page or a fresh group of posts or whatever it is, I'm done. I'd rather just walk away. I'm not waiting for that stuff. I know that, yes, sometimes it has to go up to space and back, but I'm not waiting for it. Another thing I hate waiting for that's more a little more specific to me probably is I hate the 15 minutes right before a church service starts. I'm just, everything's ready. I'm trying to remember what I have to do or say. You know, it's pressure. I just want to, let's just get it. Let's just get on with it and go. You know, I don't want to talk to people because, you know, I'm trying to think of what's happening and stuff like this. And I'm just talking about Sunday mornings. But yeah, I don't want to appear rude either, though. So you have a pressure to, all that stuff aside. You know what? When things are ready, let's just do it. That waiting, that's like 5 or 10 minutes before service starts, is the worst for me. And the last thing I hate waiting for is I hate waiting through anything that's boring without something interesting to do. Now, that's pretty generalized. And my interesting thing, it could be a phone. It could be a person to talk to whose company I enjoy. It might be a phone call with that person. It could be a Nintendo Switch. But here's the deal. Boring things are boring. There's no other way around it. And I hate waiting through boring things. And I don't know, what are they for you? What are things that you hate waiting for that you've had to endure? Did you ever have to sit out of your favorite sport for a season because of an injury? Did you ever, you know, do you hate waiting to get your grades back from something after you've done a test or something? Or do you prefer to wait forever for those grades because you know the hammer's dropping when the grades come home? You know, what is it? Do you hate waiting for parents to stop talking after church? You know, what is it that you hate waiting for? The reality is nobody likes waiting. There are certain things that are harder than others, but no one likes waiting. And the writer of Psalm 42, David, he doesn't like waiting either. And we got into the first half of Psalm 42 last week. We'll get into a little bit more of it this week. So as we get into the second week of Oh My Soul, let's take a look at Psalm 42, verses 7 through 9. Verse 7 says, "Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls." And remember, a little side note, David's writing very poetically here. He's not just saying, "I'm sick of waiting. Where you at, God?" He's writing very poetically, which forces us to really, you know, allow him to paint this picture. So deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. "All your breakers and your billows have swept over me. The Lord will send his faithful love by day. His song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about in sorrow because of the enemy's oppression?" You see, David's struggle with depression, anxiety is a lot like an arm wrestling match. There are times when he's got the upper hand and he's doing well and he's considering the hope and the future. And there's other times where he's discouraged and his strength is failing. And he's coming back the other way. And this kind of fluctuation happens throughout Psalm 42, but it's really obvious in verse 9. He starts by referring to God as his rock. I will say to God, my rock, which means God is the one he stands on and the one he hides behind when life gets difficult. He's a source of stability, but he ends the sentence with doubts that God cares for him. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? And it's important to know that, because the first point I want to get to tonight is that healing is not linear. It's not a straight line. In fact, depression and anxiety can be really unpredictable. One day, everything's going well. We're comfortable in our skin. Sun is shining, literally or metaphorically. And then the very next day, we have sort of this cloud of anxiousness and depression over our heads. The fluctuation is a part of wrestling with depression and anxiety. And if what you struggle with when you deal with this, or if it's not you, but it's friends that you know, if it's circumstantial, if it's because of a certain season in your life, then this will happen for a time. If it's more chemical, because something your body is doing, you know, is causing it, even though there's no real like reason for it that you can put your finger on, then this fluctuation becomes a regular life rhythm. It's something that we'll deal with for a long period. And while part of that can be really discouraging, and that's understandable, it can also be encouraging and reassuring. And the reason I say that is because that means that when we have a bad day, when we deal with these things, it doesn't really mean that we're backtracking. It doesn't mean that we've screwed up. It doesn't mean that, well, I took two steps forward, now I got one step back. Nope. So if you wake up with that heaviness hanging over your head, or it's onset suddenly throughout the day, don't heap guilt on yourself for struggling with it, and don't allow your friends doing that as you look from the outside. It's a part of the process. Some days will not go as well as others, and it doesn't mean that you're going backwards. So with all that said, you know, David still works through some frustration and some pain. And when we get to verse 10, he says, "My adversaries taunt me as if crushing my bones, while all the day long they say to me, where is your God?" So here we see David's depression and anxiety are a result of internal and external. Early in the psalm, he talks about his internal struggle. He talked back to his tears. You know, we talked about this last week. And now we get a glimpse into the external factors. He says, "My adversaries taunt me." And not really sure who the adversaries are in this time. That's not really the point. It doesn't matter of like, well, this person said this thing. Because one of the important truths that we can kind of glean from this is this second point, which is not all depression and anxiety are circumstantial, but circumstances can make the pain worse. So it's not all circumstantial, but our circumstances can make it worse. When we deal with depression and anxiety, no matter the cause, it becomes doubly difficult when the internal factors and the external factors are both working against us. In fact, David says it hurts him so deeply when he references back to the external factors of people. He says it's crushing his bones. Now, I've broken one bone in my life. I broke my ankle. I jumped off a fence onto a trampoline. I thought it was going to be awesome. It wasn't awesome. Some of you heard the story. I won't repeat it for now. It was not awesome. I was going to look like a pro wrestler in my mind. I looked like a ridiculous idiot in practice. That hurt. That was one crack in one bone in my ankle. And what David references here is not just that it breaks his bones. He says it's crushing his bones. I can't fathom what it feel like to break a bone in multiple points, to crush it. I have seen some sports videos where people's leg is flopping around and ooh, it's creepy. It sounds awful. But David uses this imagery and this poetic wording because it's an accurate description of how he feels. You know, I know we say that sticks and stones will break my bones, words will never hurt me, but we know that's not true. I would say that the pendulum has swung so far right now that everyone says it's not only is it not true, words really, really hurt you. And I would just encourage you, a little bit of an aside from what we're talking about here, but something that I will get on my soapbox about till the day I die, is don't let words hurt you as much as they can. What I mean by that is we give license to words hurting us sometimes. We allow them to. That's a little side note. That's a subject for another day. So David is dealing with this, his external circumstances and his internal circumstances together, and he says he feels like it's crushing his bones. He just feels crushed under the weight of it. And then he kind of voices a familiar, we'll call it a chorus to this poem in verse 11. It says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." And we talked about this last week. Here's a quick refresher. This is a message of hurt and hope. David's saying to himself, even though life hurts you now, you will praise God again like you used to, maybe even deeper than you used to. And this is having this hope in who God is and who and the promises that he has fulfilled in others' lives and being able to look at his fingerprints and his evidence into things and to have that hope for the future is hopeful. Well, that's a terrible choice of words, but it does give us hope. However, it brings us back to the initial sort of kickoff subject of this whole thing, is it requires us to wait. And that's the challenging thing about this psalm, is that it doesn't have a necessarily happy ending. It doesn't wrap itself up before the credits roll because it's a little snippet into his life that's not over yet. He's enduring a process. He's going through the process in the best way that he can. He's brought it to God. He's voiced what he needs from God. He's processing his pain out loud. He's endured all these things and he's been honest along the way. But if he's done that, then why is he still waiting for God to rescue him? Why hasn't God rescued him from this yet? And that is because that rescue is a healing process that takes time. We don't have a clear timeline of what's coming up. We don't have a perfect picture of God's blueprint. We don't have an exact formula of what will bring about the result that we want. But David leaves us here because it's both hopeful and realistic. It's important to not have unrealistic expectations. Now, that's a strange thing to say when we talk about a God who is infinitely powerful. But God allows us to struggle at times. He wants to walk with us through struggle at times. He doesn't just fix all of our problems. And I know I don't have to tell you that. I know you're not sitting there wondering, you know, thinking, yes, he does. No, of course, no one thinks he does. We all deal with a lot of crap in our life. We have a lot of challenges. But we see an example of how David, who God referred to as the apple of his eye, just the most precious person to him at that time, of how he processed these things, which brings us to our third point. We wait, we work towards this healing, we go through this process with the help and hope of Psalm 42. We wait and we work towards healing with Psalm 42's help. Things can get better for us if you take the right steps, but we must remember to wait patiently as God walks us through these things. Maybe your struggle takes you a week. Maybe your struggle is entirely on external factors. And the moment that you get to summertime, it's all better. Or maybe your struggle is going to take a few years. Whatever it is, God will walk through that struggle with you. And the key for you is to just keep swimming. I don't mean to laugh at that because it's true, but I laugh because of, you know, how recently we had talked about and how Taylor talked about resilience. And maybe right now you can look over at your Dory figure that we handed out, remembering to just keep moving forward in your walk with God. Let him help you through the struggle. Don't walk away from him because there is a struggle. He wants to walk with you through it. So to keep moving forward. I think of sports a lot. I'm a sports guy. I like football a lot. And there's a principle in football that whether you like to watch it or not, it doesn't really matter. You know, as someone's running with the ball and another person's trying to tackle them, the person with the ball, the principle is keep your feet moving. Always, always, always keep your feet moving. Keep driving yourself forward. And as you do that, as that becomes a discipline, as you play the sport of football, as many of you I know do day in and day out. No, I know that's not true. But as you do that, in general, you begin to progress in your ability to play this sport because it affects everything else. As you drive yourself forward, even through the resistance of something trying to tackle you, to bring you down, you are driving forward little by little. You are moving forward, even if it's a struggle. And there's going to be times when you feel like you've been waiting and working on these things for too long. You will wish that you'll be closer to the end. There'll be times where you feel like you've taken a big step back. You know, even it's this one day and I ruined it all. But that's not the truth. That's just what it feels like. So you need to be able to promise yourself and to walk with God that you'll keep moving. Keep moving forward. Here's a few practical steps to keep moving forward as you deal with depression, anxiety, and as you see others near you deal with it. We talked about, for those of you that aren't really struggling with this, how you can help others through it. And I would just tell you, rather than me repeat it right now, go back and listen to that if you haven't yet. You know, if you don't struggle with this and you're thinking, well, I'm not really getting out of this week, go back and listen to that last week. Find out some steps to be a good, someone who can partner with someone who's struggling with depression, anxiety. So one of the practical steps that you can take to keep moving forward, whether it's all at once or whether you suffer setbacks, is the first step is simple. It's talk to a friend that you trust, a mentor, or even a parent. Just talk about it with someone that you trust. No matter what we struggle with, there's a quote from an old novel. I won't get into where it comes from, but the quote is true scripturally as well. The devil loves unspoken secrets, especially those that fester in a man's soul. That's a quote from an old book about Moby Dick and whatever. But the enemy likes us to keep sin, and not just sin, but our struggles, because if you have anxiety, that's not a sin. I should probably put that out there. It's not a sin to be wrestling with this. The devil loves when we keep these things a secret. When we keep things guarded, when we try to preserve ourselves, but get it off your chest. Talk to someone that you trust, a mentor, a parent, someone, and let them know the struggle. Let them help walk with you through this. Maybe they have some answers. Maybe they've gone through similar things. Maybe they're totally clueless, but are there for you. Don't do it alone. Don't keep it a secret. Don't let it fester. Here's a second step. Maybe this is not in order. Talk to a counselor. This I hear voices in my head right now of students I've talked to in years past and said, well, my school counselor is terrible. My so-and-so is terrible. Okay. Then find one that you like. Find one that you can sit and talk with. Have your parents help you find one. Talking to friends, mentors, and parents is extremely helpful. But sometimes we need professional help. And there is no shame in that. I have talked to counselors on multiple occasions. Not with depression and anxiety personally. But I know other people who have, who've dealt with that. Sometimes that's all, you know, the counselor walks them through and they come out the other side. Other times it just helps them because they have the counselor will have a bigger picture of what's happening with us and different things. So talk to a professional and don't let anyone tell you that you shouldn't or you can't or blah, 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 blah. Look, talking to more people will only help as long as they're trustworthy people. Last step is this. Read more Psalms. Here's why I say that. If you look through the story of David, David's a mighty man of God, and God has nothing but good things to say about him. Oh, he screwed up sometimes, don't get me wrong. But he paid that price. And at the end of his life, he was faithful, and God kept his promise, all these things to him, to keep his lineage on the throne in Judah forever, and all these things. And Jesus Christ was an actual descendant of King David. And in the book of Matthew traces that. That's how powerful God's love and relationship with David was. He said, you will always have someone on the throne until the eternal king comes in your lineage. So with that being said, you read more Psalms and you're going to see Psalms that are full of wisdom, that are full of emotion, that are full of pain, praise, that are in the worst spots in his life, that are in the best spots in his life. It is the perfect thing to be able to carry with you through the valley of the shadow of death, to quote Psalm 23. Maybe go through a particular psalm with friend, mentor, parent. But whatever it is, get into more, read more Psalms. It's such a specific area that covers the roller coaster that was David's life, internally and externally. Here is a man who we can empathize with. We understand the struggle. He understood the struggle. And we can see how he dealt with it in his attitude in different ways. And here's a little bit of a frustrating part on my end of things. As we close here, and I'm going to pray for you. As a pastor, what I want to see happen is I want to come up with two sermons based on scripture about depression and anxiety that when you hear them and you pray a prayer that you are completely healed of your depression and anxiety or the person that you know if you're a friend of someone who does. And first of all, let me just say this disclaimer, that can happen because God is a healer. And as we pray, I am going to pray for your healing, and I do pray that God would take away that suffering. But I also know at times what I've said before is true, that God wants to walk with us through our struggles. And so I know that I don't have an answer beyond going to Jesus, looking into Scripture. I don't have the magical Thanos snap that can just take care of all your problems. But I serve a God who the Bible says that Jesus knew every struggle that a human knows. He knew all the things that we suffer, that he suffered the same things. So I know the God in heaven who can not only heal, but who can empathize and strengthen us through difficulties. So God, right now I pray over these students who are listening here. I ask that you would breathe life into their spirit. I pray, God, that you draw them close to you, bring them comfort and joy. Father, I pray right now over those who are suffering and struggling with depression and anxiety. I pray for your healing in their life. I ask that you would heal them in Jesus' name. Lord, we also know that whether you choose to heal them miraculously right now or not, that you wish to walk with them through the struggles of their life. So I pray, God, for those that are struggling with this. Father, I also ask that you would walk with them, strengthen them, give them hope. Lord, help us find that hope in Psalm 42. And Father, lastly, I pray over the students who really aren't necessarily struggling with this themselves. But Father, know so many who do, because so many of us, so many who surround us do. Lord, I pray that you would give them a heart of empathy. I pray that, God, that you would help them understand more and more how to befriend and how to be an ally and a support for someone who's dealing with this. And Father, I also pray that, Lord, that you would give them the words to speak at the right time. I pray over our students that they would be able to walk in your victory. In the name of Jesus, amen.